boost your mood in New Jersey. Surprise yourself with new wonders or rediscover the places and faces you treasure most. Savor sea breezes and the song of waves on beloved beaches and boardwalks. Rise to the call of adventure at parks, forests, and family favorite attractions. Distinctive dining, inspiring art, history, and culture. Find it all at visitnj.org.
From Harry Hurley Way in the World's Playground to the broadcast pioneers of Philadelphia Hall of Fame.
I want to congratulate my friend, Harry Hurley.
You're about to find out why Harry Hurley has been named to the Talkers Magazine list of the 100 most important talk show hosts in the nation. Live from the studios of Town Square Media in Northfield, it's Hurley in the Morning on WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Thank you very much. It's 6 minutes past the hour, 77 degrees as we begin our morning together right here on the Hurley in the Morning program. Our guest on the Hurley in the Morning Newsmaker Hotline is self-made, successful businessman, former New Jersey assemblyman, and the current Republican nominee for governor of New Jersey. Now, remember, Election Day is Tuesday, November 2nd. However, in New Jersey now, Election Day is 2 weeks before November 2nd, because we will have, for the first time ever, 2 full weeks of voting at the polls. I'm not crazy about it, but I can live with it, because the alternative was that incredibly bizarre, let's mail out millions of ballots to all kinds of people, and a lot of them not even registered to vote or don't live here anymore, don't live where the ballots were sent. And it was just some of the craziest stuff I ever saw. Now you have to request the ballot. I want everybody to vote. We make that clear. But we can't do it like that ever again. We saw what that did in key battleground states. We saw what all of that meant. So I'll take this over that. This way, if you are who you say you are, you request a ballot, then you get an application sent to you, then you have to verify, and your signature needs to be verified. And then if all that is good, then you'll get a ballot sent to you, and then you send it back in, and there lies our checks and balances with our various boards of election, where two Republicans and two Democrats will review those ballots. That's the kind of election, the sanctity and the protection, because it has to be one person, one vote. Joining us now is the former Assemblyman Chitterelli. Jack, welcome back to Hurley in the Morning, sir.
Hey, good morning, Harry. It's great to be with you. And listen, thank you for teeing up the changes that have been made to our voting system for this year. I agree with you 100%. It's better than last year, for sure. But if I may, I'd like to comment on a few things with regard to this year's election.
Sure, of course. Time is yours.
Well, I support early voting. And my idea of early voting is the polls opening the Saturday, Sunday, and Monday before Election Day, not 10 days before.
I like that.
This is going to be an additional cost of $100 million, because you need more poll workers. You need to securitize the machines. You need e-poll books. And I'll tell you what, Harry, here's how I would have spent some of that $100 million. Let's get more police on the streets in Atlantic City. Mm. You know, they always go to an extreme here, and you're right. So the election will start 10 days before Election Day. But think about it. Things will start on September 17th when the county clerks start mailing out this year's VBMs for all those that want to vote via VBM. So you're right. We'll be voting in person, the vast majority of us, but the nearly 1 million New Jerseyans that want to vote via VBM, that's being mailed out on September 17th, which means we've got less than 2 months to go before some people start casting their votes.
Exactly. It's much sooner than some people think. And of course, once people vote, if they're, you know, then the election's over for them. And who knows what will come out in the weeks thereafter. I'm also not a big fan of all these days and days and days and days. I mean, how many do you need? We've always had one election day. The polls open at 6. They close at 8. If you're in line before 8, you get to vote. If you're not, see you next time. But I like the Chitterelli doctrine. All right, I'll take that. They'll give the whole weekend, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday and Tuesday, maybe even. 4 days of voting. This way, if you work Monday through Friday, you're off the 2 days. But the other thing about voting in New Jersey, I think you're going to agree with this. If you want to vote, you're going to vote. If you work 8 to 4, you can vote before work or after work. If you work 4 to 12, you can vote before work. If you work midnight to 8, you've got all those hours before you go to work to go and vote. That's why 6 a.m. to 8 p.m. always was enough hours to have an election. I mean, we've been doing that for hundreds of years, and sometimes over the years, even less hours than that. I think this goes way too far, and I hadn't even spoken much about the cost factor. I think a lot of people were surprised to hear you say how expensive that is.
$100 million, Harry. And let's face it, you're hitting the nail on the head. In life, we have pretty much two responsibilities as citizens, jury duty and voting. I mean, my goodness, in 1860, the turnout was 81% when people had to travel a full day by horse and buggy to vote for Abraham Lincoln. So, but let's be clear, Harry, because you said something else that's really important. Okay, this is not about disenfranchising anybody. We want the largest turnout possible. Quite frankly, I think the more people that turn out, the better for Chattarelli in New Jersey, because a lot of people realize how wrong this guy's been for New Jersey. But again, $100 million to go about this year's election the way they proposed, and I will change it, but never, ever, ever disenfranchise anybody. And I will tell you one other thing under Governor Chattarelli. We'll have voter ID. I don't care if it's a utility bill. Okay, an overwhelming number of New Jerseyans, Democrats, Republicans, and Independents, support voter ID. And I will also say that if you've missed five elections, two presidential elections, and the three elections in between, you're going to have to re-register. We're not going to let people go 10 years without voting, and then we don't know who you are or where you are. I mean, these are all the different ways we need to clean up our voter registration rolls. With one more reform, anytime a death certificate is issued in this state, a copy of which needs to be sent to the County Board of Elections and the State Election Board to remove that name from the election rolls.
I love that, because we know one thing we learned from the pandemic. I don't remember the exact number, but there were so many ballots that went out around this state to people that had long since moved away, died. I mean, it was incredible. And then these ballots are just floating all over the place, potentially to be harvested. That's no way to run an election. It's no way to pick your representatives. So everybody that is an eligible registered voter has the opportunity to vote. I really like your suggestion of expanding the voting, but just not so many days. You would save, what if you did, the Chattarelli doctrine, three extra days of voting? Did you call for Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday? Is that what you said?
Well, we vote on Tuesday, election day. I say open up the polls Saturday, Sunday, and Monday for maybe 6 hours each. And then we do the traditional thing on Tuesday, election day, which is 14 hours or 12 hours, depending on your region. But listen, that would cut the cost to by two-thirds. We just saved $60 million. Think about what we could do with that $60 million, Harry. I mean, we've had school districts around this state have been shortchanged in terms of their school funding. We've had a state take over Atlantic City that's cut the police force by a third in a town whose population quintuples on a summer day. I've talked to your police there. They're understaffed. Okay? We need more police protection in Atlantic City. Why are we spending this money in other ways that are not as much a priority?
I have no answer for that, because I don't agree with it. I do agree that if we want to open it up more than just one day, you don't have to go 10, in some states even 14 days. So that, I think, was a good compromise. And if you can't vote within the framework of Saturday, Sunday, Monday, or Tuesday, you don't intend to vote. It's not like if you could have voted 6 days before that. Oh, my God, if you only would have given me 6 days prior to the extra three, I really would have really, really, really wanted to vote and would have voted. And I know this much, the way it was always set up, I always look forward to election day. I know exactly what I'm doing. I schedule an appointment to vote, and I've never missed an election since I was 18 years old and voted for Ronald Reagan, my first election. Never missed an election, never missed a school board election. In fact, I never voted anywhere except at my polling place, Assemblyman Chattarelli. Let me put your mic back on, and we are going to the break, though. I never voted anywhere except my polling machine, except in the last year of the pandemic when we didn't have a choice. And by the way, I was never comfortable with I was swearing that I requested that ballot. Now, I know, and I had the letter, and I know that Governor Murphy said you're not committing perjury. There is no penalty that will happen to you, nothing criminally, because that's a federal offense. to say you asked for a ballot you didn't ask for, and you're actually, if you want to vote, you got to sign and say that you asked for that ballot. I think at the minimum, if that was compulsory, it should have said on there that these ballots were sent to you unsolicited. That's another thing. That might sound like a small point, but that bothered me a lot, Jack.
Hey, Harry, do you know that if you decide to hand deliver your vote by mail ballot personally to the Board of Elections, do you know what you have to provide before they'll take it?
Well, I'm assuming probably photo ID.
Photo ID. You know who put that in place, Harry? The Democrats. So I don't want to hear anything when I propose that we should have some form of voter ID when you go to vote on Election Day. Again, I don't care if it's a utility bill. But here's the other thing about all these VBM ballots, Harry. Do you know at one time you were allowed, any one person was allowed to deliver 10 vote-by-mail ballots?
Right.
What we call ballot harvesting sometimes. Do you know what number the Democrats changed it to?
To what?
3.
Well,
so what is it, Harry, that the Democrats were saying when they changed the law to say you must produce a voter ID to personally deliver vote by VBM? And what were the Democrats saying when they changed the number of VBMs that any one person was allowed to deliver from 10 to 3? What were the Democrats saying?
Well, I guess they were saying, and I remember it was Jim Whalen, the late Jim Whalen, because he was afraid he was going to get beat by it down here in Atlanta County. That's really why all this came up. They didn't care. It used to be 100, used to be then 10. Whalen did a compromise at one point because he was concerned he was going to lose. What they were saying is we need to lower that number because there is cheating going on.
Exactly, Harry.
I get it. I'm awake. I got both eyes open. We'll be right back. He is the former Assemblyman Jack Cettarelli, Republican nominee for governor of New Jersey. Already in just the first segment, a really great idea. I think, and that's what good government is all about, is workable compromises, expanding the voting, but not expanding it to a point that's beyond what anybody ever asked for. That's the other thing. Nobody ever asks for this. I don't know anybody said, give me 10 days, give me 14 days. Nobody asks for that. It's accessible. Yeah, I could make the case it's accessible very well for one day. And if you're either too unwell or too unwilling, you request your vote by mail at that point. And if you need a messenger, you have a messenger under the parameters of the checks and balances. That's the type. And of course, signature verification. You got to have that. I think that's the difference between like 0.2 declination and probably something in the neighborhood of 3-5% declination. Then start taking a look at these elections. And around the country, even what they're decided by. Big, big difference. You look at Pennsylvania, you look at Georgia. Georgia had, I think, in 2016, 5 or 6% declination in Fulton County. They had 0.2% declination in 2020. And go look at the margin of victory for the Democrat. Somebody's going to tell me that signature verification, that stupid concession that Governor Kemp and that jackass Raffensperger that they made, that was a good thing? All you had to do was know how happy the Democrats were, Stacey Abrams, that you did it. They couldn't believe you did it. We'll be back in just a few minutes. Don't go away. With Assemblyman Cettarelli, I am respectfully yours.
Early in the morning, WPG Talk Radio 95.5 FM and 1450 AM.
I'm here with Steve Van Natten of the D'Amato Law Firm. Steve, tell us how you became a partner.
In 2014, I was about to retire after almost 21 years in the district attorney's office in Allentown, Pennsylvania, as the chief of prosecutions. I'd also spent the prior 12 years commuting on weekends to Ocean City to see my then-girlfriend, Shelley. So through that journey to be with her, I met Paul and Sandy D'Amato and Alexa D'Amato Barrera, and we were like long-lost family. I joined them, married Shelley in 2015. Paul and Alexa asked me to be their partner a few years ago. So it's been a complete success, personally and professionally.
Why should people who need a personal injury attorney come to the D'Amato Law Firm?
In a word, family. We're a family law firm, and we treat our clients like that. We bring that same commitment that anyone has for their own family, and we couple it with outstanding legal representation, and that makes for a winning combination. Our entire team, from legal secretaries to paralegals to attorneys, all give that level of commitment. Our clients even get our personal cell phone number so that we are available for them 24 hours a day.
Important programming note. It's 23 minutes past the hour with the Republican nominee for governor, Jack Ciattarelli. Important programming note. My very good friend, Tom P., host of Rack and Fin Radio, which is heard Saturday mornings here, live and local on WPG Talk Radio 95.5. Assemblyman Ciattarelli will be Tom P.'s guest, and I understand that you'll be talking about the bear hunt.
We will. That's critically important up in the northwest corner of the state, Harry, and it's very, very clear that we've got a case of overpopulation and humans are being endangered every day. So I really do believe Phil Murphy made the wrong decision here. There's nothing wrong about thinning the herd, but he's prevented that by saying there'll be no bear hunt.
Tom P. is a good friend and does a very nice job with his show. I look forward to listening to both of you this Saturday morning. Assemblyman, in terms of decision 2021, can a Republican in the current environment, can a Republican win statewide for governor of New Jersey?
Absolutely, Harry. I'm in it to win it, and we can. There's a pathway to victory here. And by the way, that's a great follow-up to the discussion we had in the first segment. I don't want anybody thinking that I'm sitting here crying the blues because VBMs go out on September 17th or people can start voting 9 days prior to Election Day. We can win, and we will win. We're getting up and down the state 8 days a week. We matched Phil Murphy dollar for dollar in the primary. We're matching him dollar for dollar in funds raised. That's a very important sign of my campaign's energy. And so, listen, we're in it to win it. And as you know, Harry, you're a student of political history in this state. You've probably forgotten more than I'll ever know. Over the past four decades, no incumbent Democratic governor has been reelected in this state. Not Jim Florio, not Jim McGreevy, not John Corzine. And over that same four-decade span, every time a Democrat took the White House, guess what New Jersey did the very next year? It elected a Republican. But the most compelling fact, Harry, in my mind, is that Phil Murphy lost his midterms. 2 years ago in the Murphy midterms, we did something we hadn't done in 28 years. We picked up seats in the state legislature. And to me, that was the beginning of the beginning of the rejection of Phil Murphy's policies, which are an ill fit for New Jersey.
Speaking about the legislature, let me bring up a dear friend of mine, and I'd bring him up anyhow because he's relevant and he's going to be senator, hopefully in just a few days. I don't think there's any stopping it, even if the Democrats think that just by not reconvening, you can keep an entire relevant district that has a leading industry in the state without representation. That's about as un-American as it gets. And just Steve Sweeney's too good a friend. I just know him too well to believe that maybe he won't call them back into session. But how do they stand in the way of keeping a judge or anyone else, me, anyone that's eligible to swear someone in? Paulistina deserves to be sworn in. He's going to be elected by the Atlanta County Republican Committee coming up on August 4th. And I believe right following his appointment, as soon as that paperwork that has to be done for the state, it's a couple of forms, is sent in, he should be sworn in because the citizens of my district, too, we deserve to have a state senator. What are we going to do? We're going to wait. There's no constituent service. I mean, Vince Mazzeo and John Armato suck. There's no constituent service. I've got Paulistina working on something right now. There's somebody who was about to kill himself that wrote me because he can't get something done. And I have him now in the hands of the chief of staff, who will be Vince's right arm as he gets sworn in. But your thoughts about that? Number one, that the seat must be filled, and whatever legal process is required to make that happen, it has to happen through an order to show cause or whatever it's going to need to have happen. That has to happen. And what are your thoughts about a Senator Vince Paulistina?
I'm a big fan of Vince. He's a great candidate. He's going to be a great state senator. He's going to win. If we're learning anything from this situation, here's another reform that we need, Harry, that the legislature could not allow any seat to be vacated for more than a very short period of time. There's 220,000 people that live in Legislative District 2, including the citizens of Atlantic City. They deserve to have three state legislators, two assembly people, and one state senator. And so this is what happens when the majority has been in the majority for way too long. They're not going to let Vince fill that seat. That is a Republican seat. By law, the Republican Party gets to name who it is they'd like to fill in for the person who left. It needs to be filled. People deserve to be represented.
But I still maintain that even if Senator Sweeney, President Sweeney, doesn't call back the Senate. That, to me, is a ceremonial swearing in. Polisena being sworn in my estimation, legally takes place when he is selected to be the senator. And then if they have something ceremonial once the Senate is back in session a few months from now, I contend that is not a legal maneuver that can stop a senator from being sworn in. Do you have a position on that?
Well, I don't disagree with you, Harry. If we want to pursue a legal remedy, we certainly can. But I do believe the way the Constitution is written, Sweeney holds all the cards here. But again, if it's telling us anything, this is a reform that we need to build into our Constitution.
Well, I will tell you, Kirk Conover filled an unexpired term and was selected by the Atlanta County Republican Committee, and he was sworn in immediately. He took office immediately, and somewhere down the road, they had a ceremonial swearing in for Kirk Conover. I don't believe that that is the Constitution that says it has to happen legally within a session of the New Jersey Senate. I don't believe it. And it's already been violated anyhow. If that is the law, it's already been done differently. And I would submit sight unseen countless times, but I just cited one that I can prove. And Kirk Conover talked about it Tuesday of this week. It's very fresh in my mind. So, Polisena, get ready to raise your right hand and have Carolyn and the kids right by, because you are going to become, if this was Mari Povich, you are the senator. It is going to happen. Go ahead.
Yeah, you just cited a very, very compelling precedent. So let's leverage it and get Vince in there ASAP.
I mean, I know that some of the Democrat judges in the state are capable of anything. The Torricelli rule, you know, that the Constitution said there too, Mr. Candidate for Governor, that past a certain date, they cannot replace the candidate. Remember that?
I do remember that. But listen, this administration has been plagued by vacancies, or at least plagued the state with vacancies everywhere, Harry. We've got vacancies all throughout the state superior court system, which prevents people from their right of due process because cases are being delayed. We've got vacancies on boards all throughout the state. I mean, the guy is 3 years into his administration. Why are there vacancies on board after board after board? And now you're going to have a vacancy in the state legislature? Again, it speaks to how incompetent this administration has been.
Here's the other thing that's terrible. When Senator Gormley left and Senator McCullough beat Frank Blee and became the senator, he promptly took office. When the late Jim Whalen, the late Senator Whalen, passed, tragically, sadly, Colin Bell took office promptly. That's a Republican and a Democrat, each taking office promptly. How are we to accept if someone tries to pull off that they can just hold this seat open for 3 months? That is unacceptable.
It is unacceptable. And when you really think about it, they're the ones that instigated the vacancy, right? By taking Chris Brown into the administration, and then they're going to stick it to us by not letting us fill the vacancy? It's wrong.
Yeah, but I'm going to default to my earlier point. We're going to get the halftime break, and Polisena legally will be able to handle whatever is brought to bear. If Senator Sweeney doesn't call, the Senate president doesn't call the Senate back into session, then Polisena just gets legal remedy. I'm confident. I mean, there's so many examples to this already happening. We'll be back. Much more to cover with Republican nominee for governor, former Assemblyman Jack Cettarelli. Jack, before we go to the break, real quick, and I it could be a near miss. It could have happened. Did you and Polisena serve in the legislature together?
We did not overlap. No.
Okay, but it had to be close, though, because he was 10 years ago. He was still in, and you left how many years ago?
So I came in 2011 and served the last 6 years of the Christie administration. So he had left just before.
Yeah, exactly. It was like a near miss. I knew it was either that you served briefly or near miss. So there you have it. 33 minutes past the hour with Jack Cettarelli, who will be on with my great friend. He does a wonderful job on his program, Rack and Fin Radio, this Saturday. Tom P., one-on-one with Jack Cettarelli, who you're listening to right now on this. Thank you. 38 minutes past the hour with former New Jersey Assemblyman Jack Cettarelli, Republican nominee for governor of New Jersey, in what I love to do, and that is the classic Hurley in the Morning long-form interview, cover a lot of ground, talk about the things, not getting stuck on stupid, but talking about things that really matter to people. And here's one. As you know, and it's gotten some of my friends a little bit mad at me, I've been uber compliant all during COVID-19. Some people take it very seriously. Some people are, to me, shockingly, very, very cavalier about it. By the way, I have no concerns about getting it or any of that. I mean, I'm in shape, and you know, I feel that I would probably do well even if I did. But I was vaccinated, and we were transparent about that. Now we see this Delta variant, and while we remain steady, if you look at these different maps, Assemblyman, we remain steady here in New Jersey. And my friend Governor Murphy has said that he's not going to punish the 60% or 70% that have been vaccinated, you know, on behalf of the 30% or so that have not been. I like that answer, by the way. We'll see what you have to say about that. But I am watching around the country as the states with low vaccination rates have hospitals overridden. I think it's a little bit hard for people listening here in Atlanta County when we see 8 cases and nobody died yesterday, and a lot of people, 60-70% got vaccinated and so on and so forth. It's hard for us to imagine that in New Orleans, you can't get into a hospital right now. Every bed is taken. They're turning people away. And that's not just New Orleans. You have Texas is in rough shape. Florida is getting in rougher shape. Louisiana, of course, Arkansas, and other states all have in common low vaccination rates. What are your thoughts relative so that we do not, because the numbers we're seeing right now, Assemblyman, we're seeing February numbers during the last spike that we had. What are your thoughts about COVID-19, the Delta variant, where we are, where we should be, where we take it from here?
Harry, the Democrats are famous for saying my body, my choice. And I do support that principle. I've never been someone that felt that government has a right to tell anyone they have to ingest the medicine or vaccine. I am vaccinated. I would suggest people get vaccinated. The data is pretty clear here. The hospitalizations, 99% of which are amongst people that have not been vaccinated. And it's never a good thing when our hospitals fill up. I guess if there's any good news in what's going on is the hospitals are filling up, but not the ICUs. So the Delta variant, at least right now, doesn't seem to be as serious as COVID-19 was when it first broke on the scene a year and a half ago. But I also believe and feel very strongly that those that were vaccinated should not be punished or inconvenienced because of people who refuse to get vaccinated. So that's where I am on the position on the issue. And we're going to have to see how things go from here. I do think that more and more people being hospitalized that were not vaccinated is going to encourage more people to get vaccinated.
I hope so. I really do. I mean, there have been tragic stories coming out every day. I saw a mom telling her story about her 28-year-old son. She didn't get vaccinated. He didn't get vaccinated because they didn't believe. They didn't believe it's serious. He's dead. She got really sick and has some significant lung issues and some other problems that she's going to have to deal with for a long time. The other thing that people don't talk about, they say, well, look how many people don't die. You know, 99.3% people don't die. They don't talk about people that are messed up and on oxygen, that have had blood clots and other problems. So you don't have to die for this to completely change your life. One other thing about this, and then we'll move on to some other things. I don't believe that New Jerseyans, I don't believe Americans can endure another wave of this where the face masks come back. Compulsory this, compulsory that. You've got to shut down again your restaurant or your other businesses, and then government gets to decide again who's allowed to live and who's allowed to die. I don't think people can take any more of that at this point.
I agree with you, Harry. And listen, we'll always be about saving lives, but we also have to be about saving livelihoods.
Yeah. And I mean, there are businesses that, as you know, and you were one of them, I don't mean in this iteration, but You started from scratch, self-made, at least 2 businesses that I know of that were very, very successful. You've got people out there hanging on by a thread that did everything, including mortgage their own home, whatever they had to do to keep the doors open of their restaurant or whatever the other non-essential business by government was deemed to be the case. And they're finally now to the point where the only problem they have right now is not business. It's actually getting help, which is something I think we could pivot to, because there's got to be a reason. There's a restaurant that is absolutely iconic in this area that a waiter or a waitress, us, we'll call them servers because I don't want to get canceled, they'll make $300, $400, $500, $600 every day, midweek days. They can't get people to come to work because government is paying people not to work.
Harry, we have got 33 governors around the country that have stopped accepting the $300 weekly supplement for the feds, from the feds for unemployment. Here in New Jersey, Phil Murphy refuses to turn off the spigot. He continues to extend the New Jersey unemployment benefit, continues to accept the $300 weekly booster from the feds, and continues. His Department of Labor is not verifying whether or not you're looking for work as a condition of receiving your benefits. If you make it too easy for people, Harry, sadly, they will sit home. How is it the state, with the highest unemployment rate in the nation at 7.8, has help wanted signs everywhere? The two are incongruent, okay? It's all because of his policies, and where it is particularly acute, Harry, as you know, is along the Jersey Shore, where people have only 13 weeks to earn their living.
Yeah.
And this is this guy's problem. He's out of touch with New Jersey. I don't think he even knows where the hell the Jersey Shore is. And so, like 33 other governors around the country, he should turn off the federal supplement, stop accepting it. His Department of Labor needs to start verifying whether or not you're looking for work as a condition of receiving your benefits. And I got to tell you, Harry, all those help wanted signs that those little small business owners have in the window, it's not just for help, for labor. They want a new governor.
You know, so interesting. I mean, I saw a sign the other day. My wife and I both saw it. It had jobs for hire. Then it had the word jobs after that. Then it said every classification. I mean, they needed help everywhere. Every single position was open within this organization. And you have to just be intellectually honest. We're paying people at a level where they don't have to work. If you took that away, able-bodied people in America, it's always been the foundation, the bedrock of America. Rugged individualism, people that came here, that immigrated, the first thing they did was either they learned the language ahead of time or learned it right upon getting here, and they got right to work. Because, you know, if you didn't work, you didn't eat. Now we've made it that you don't have to work. We have a speaker who's actually said, if you don't want to work, you shouldn't have to work. We can't pay for that. How can we pay for able-bodied people? And I'm also, and I've spoken it and I've written it, I am in total agreement with an earlier point that you made, Assemblyman Chettarelli, and that is you earn unemployment, you've paid into it, you've earned it, but every step of the way, you're trying to get off of unemployment. It used to be people were just not proud. They were, even though you've earned it, if you ever got let go from your job or downsized or your company closed, you paid into that. You're entitled to that. But every step of the way, you should be doing a minimum of 3 interviews a week. I would be interviewing every day until I could get off of the assistance. Let's be like, who was it? Gentleman Jack Corbett, the fighter? Or what was his name? That he went to unemployment to pay the money back because he said he didn't want to take it. They didn't know how to take the money back. So what are we doing? Not making people – you used to have to interview a certain amount of times a week and show. And if you were offered a job and you didn't take it, you lost your benefits because you're gaming the system at that point. You're proving you don't want to work. You want to collect. And you should only collect until the earliest possible date that you can get a job. That's what I believe. That's, I think, the fundamental difference between Republicans and Democrats. The Democrats want to make, and they're doing it around the country, as you know, Jack, they want this guaranteed income stuff. And they're trying it in some areas around the country. This is a scheme. This is Biden said it the other day. You're covered until the end of the year, and then we're going to do more next year. They don't want to let go of this. They want to continue to hand out the hardworking people of America's tax dollars to people who are able-bodied to work but choose not to work. Now, those are my words, not yours. If you want to expand on that when we come back, we'll be back in just a few. I am.
Hurley in the Morning, WPG Talk Radio 95.5 FM and 1450 AM.
This is Harry Hurley for Angeloni's 2 Restaurant and Lounge, located in the World's Playground at the corner of Arctic and Georgia Avenues in Atlantic City. To make a reservation for dinner, call 609-344-7875. That's 609-344-7875. Due to the change in COVID-19 restrictions and limited staffing, Angeloni's 2 Restaurant and Lounge will be open Wednesday through Sunday with limited business hours, Sunday, Wednesday, and Thursday, 4 p.m. to 10 p.m., Friday and Saturday, 4 p.m. to 12 midnight, if business warrants staying open. Alan Angeloni and his great team at Angeloni's 2 Restaurant and Lounge are on the web at angelonis.com. Again, to make a reservation, please call Angeloni's 2 Restaurant and Lounge at 609-344-7875. Angeloni's provides an off-street parking lot right next to the restaurant. Tell Alan Harry Hurley sent you.
Hey, thank you. Great one. It is 53 minutes past the hour with former New Jersey Assemblyman Jack Cettarelli, the Republican nominee for governor of New Jersey in this election cycle. A reminder, and we write it all the time, and we've spoken about it a bunch here with the Assemblyman. Election Day may be on the calendar as Tuesday, November 2nd, but it actually is a 10-day at the polls election in New Jersey for the first time ever, and then back to the future in terms of any of the paper ballots where they will have to be requested the way that they were requested in the past. I'm okay with the trade. It's too much on the polls being open that long. And then people say, oh, you don't want people to vote. No, it's not that you don't want people to vote. There comes a point in time. It's a point of diminishing return. If you don't vote in one day, are you going to vote in two? Are you going to vote in three? You're going to vote in four, but the 10th one is going to, you know, be the difference. So anyhow, we don't need to go back and revisit all that, but I'll be talking and writing about that more in the run-up to the election. And then let's see. Let's see if exponentially there is some fabulous – I'll predict this much. See what you think about this, Jack. I guarantee you that fewer people will vote in this election. Now the people will say, well, it was a presidential election. Fewer people will vote when you actually have to go to the polls than voted when paper could show up.
I agree, Harry. I mean, listen, they mailed a ballot to 6.2 million names last year. And listen, it was a presidential year. But I think this year's turnout could approach 50%, and that's fine by me.
Let's go back to the benefits. Anything about employment benefits that you didn't get to share? And just in case there's anything you either want to distance yourself from what I said or anything, let me give you some time just to comment on that. And then I have one other question.
With regard to unemployment benefits, Harry, we always know there are hardship cases out there. We need to know who they are. We are our brothers and sisters' keeper. But as I said before, if you make it too easy, people will stay home. And, you know, Harry, there's a larger issue going on in our country today that I feel very strongly about. We seem to not celebrate the virtue of hard work anymore. I always tell people, particularly young people, there's a four-letter word that you'll never find in the Declaration of Independence or the Constitution, and that's the word easy. The American way of life, the American dream, was never meant to be easy. What was it about is this country provides opportunity, and if you work hard, you will be successful. So let's start celebrating the virtue of hard work. I can't tell you how fortunate I was to be raised by two people. There was only one high school diploma in the family. My dad worked 38 years street department, public service gas, in the ditch. My mom worked midnights on the line for J&J. Never once, whenever they saw a successful person, they would point to that person and say to me and my siblings, there's somebody you want to be like. They never ever demonized the successful person. My parents pointed out a person, there's somebody you want to be like. Phil Murphy looks at that person and says, we just need them to pay our fair share. We're all in this together, and let's start celebrating the virtue of hard work and how in this country, it's not supposed to be easy. What this country provides better than any country in the history of the world is opportunity.
Little over 2 minutes, about 2.5 minutes with former Assemblyman, current Republican nominee for governor of New Jersey, Jack Cettarelli. This is a favorite question of mine, and I've been asking this question for a little more than 30 years now. Since July 1st, we've passed 30 years existence of this program. And I ask it of both sides all the time, if I'm doing a debate or if I'm doing interviews. What can you say? Is there a positive accomplishment, a positive trait, something good about your opponent, Phil Murphy?
He certainly has been visible through the pandemic. He hasn't gone into the bunker, if you will. Have we liked everything that he has said and everything that he has done? No. But he certainly hasn't taken on the bunker mentality through the pandemic. And let me say one other thing, Harry, because the governor and I are both members of a very, very exclusive club. We're both cancer survivors.
Yeah.
And he reached out to me when I was diagnosed with my cancer. I reached out to him when he was diagnosed with his cancer. And thankfully, we've both come through with flying colors, as our medical team said we would. But listen, I'm looking forward to the next 3.5 months in this competition. And I'm looking forward to the results. I think it's going to have a positive result for Cetarelli for governor and Republicans down ballot.
Let me say something, and it speaks to your good character, and you are a good man. And I've said that to the governor. I've said that to our audience. I say that to anybody that will listen. You are a very, very fine man. And I've asked that question, and I've seen people. It's like Fonzie trying to say the Richie says, come on, Fonzie, just admit you're wrong. I was I mean, I have paralyzed people with that question where they're Superman with kryptonite. They're folding, buckling at the knees, unable to speak, stuttering, stammering. You didn't know that? I swear to my audience that you did not know that question was coming, and you were intellectually honest. It flowed like it was nothing, to your credit, and I'm not surprised.
Harry, I appreciate the kind words, and listen, congratulations to you. I didn't realize it's already been 30 years.
I know.
Because I
got a baby face.
Well, listen, as we know, some radio hosts say they only have a face that's made for radio. That's not the case with you, but, you know, more important than your popularity, Harry, it's the importance of the discourse and the balance you bring to the debate, which is critically important, particularly in a state like New Jersey.
Thank you, Assemblyman. Until we meet again, and have a good time with my good friend Tom P. this Saturday.
Harry, thank you. Looking forward to next time.
You know it. He is Jack Cetarelli. I am Hurley in the Morning.